breaking news with Five Tool Sports.
All right, what's up, everybody? This is Brandon Lundberg with Football Scout 365 and Five Tool Sports podcast, and I'm here today with Nate Parker and CJ McLaughlin. We're going to talk real quick. We have breaking news. The San Francisco 49ers just traded their life away for the number three pick in the 2021 NFL draft. So just to kind of kick it off, what are your guys' like opening thoughts here?
Nate, you want to go first?
Yeah. Schefter, ESPN's Adam Schefter reported immediately after that trade. He reported that the 49ers are not planning on trading Jimmy Garoppolo. And it would not surprise me if they ended up picking Kyle Pitts at number three, just to guarantee they get him and make that offense even more dynamic than it already is. Having an offense that was firing on all cylinders vis-a-vis Aaron Hernandez, Rob Gronkowski. On the other side of things, I could easily see Kyle Shanahan going, I can work with Jimmy for 2 years, let his contract run out, and then I'm going to have Justin Fields or Zach Wilson in that position to step right
what do you
in
think,
and take over.
What do you
that
think
offense.
They doing, Nate? What do you think they're gonna do? Like, do you believe Adam Schefter and what he's reporting, or do you think they'd be better served?
What do I think they should do? I think they should trade Jimmy. If they're planning on drafting a quarterback into that offense, I think they should trade Jimmy Garoppolo. If they're keeping Jimmy and Kyle Shanahan just like, I need Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is going to win us a Super Bowl this year. Yeah. Then.
Yeah. I don't really like that idea. I mean, look, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, they do think outside the box a bit. And if that's what they're thinking, that's interesting. Right. And I don't want to discount it because, I mean, they're two bright minds. I'm not going to downplay that and what they've done. I mean, they obviously know what they're doing, but I wouldn't trade up and get Kyle Pitts. And it's not because I don't love him. Brandon, we've been on the record saying how much we love Kyle Pitts.
Well, yeah,
I just
sure,
don't
he fits
get
everywhere, right?
Like, look, this is a scenario that I think of that is likely to happen if they don't draft a quarterback. I foresee if Adam Schefter is right and they trade up and they pick Kyle Pitts, okay, loaded offense, no question about it. You got speed in the backfield. You don't necessarily have a stud in the backfield, but you got speed in the backfield, and your receiving core loaded, Kittle, two tight end sets with Pitts. It's disgusting. Yeah. But then who's going to get him the ball once Jimmy G gets hurt? Nick Mullins?
I mean,
that's the thing. Like, I didn't believe when John Lynch said a few weeks ago, when he said, hey, I believe Jimmy Garoppolo is our starting quarterback in 2021. It's because you got to read between the lines. And John Lynch ultimately is the one that makes that decision. So it's either he is or he is not. And honestly, why would you trade up to number three? I don't know, man. Yeah. But great job.
I mean,
Miami. I mean,
yeah, that's huge for them. I mean, that the building blocks. Yeah, yeah, I mean, the building blocks for Miami are interesting too. I mean, if Tua works out the way they'll be able to build around him, I think it's huge. But
who plays center for the Niners?
It is 1 second here. It is Alex Mack.
He's old. Alex Mack is old. I'm not saying Alex Mack isn't good. I think Alex Mack is a great center still, but he's old, right?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Is Penei Sewell a top five pick in this case?
Well, no. I believe that
to San Fran,
but their line is solid though.
Yeah, like, they don't need it.
I
yeah.
feel like they're good on both. They're great at both tackle spots.
Yeah.
The left guard's good. But that's a good point, because in any other draft, if it wasn't top loaded with the quarterbacks and the receivers that we're looking at now, we'd probably see a guy like Penei Sewell, going number one or number two. But in this instance, I feel like a guy like Penei Sewell is going to actually fall further back than we've ever seen somebody of his talent level fall because of the top heavy quarterback scenarios that we're seeing. You know, I predict, and here's my thought process here. You know, the 49ers are posturing for either one of two, obviously one of three situations. I feel like it could be Zach Wilson. It could be Justin Fields. But man, I really think that the most pro ready quarterback in this in the 2021 draft is going to be Mac Jones. Now, would you ever move? Why would you move that far up for Mac Jones?
Because you're not going to get Mac Jones at 12.
Right. There's a slight possibility, but I've read, like, I scoured Twitter a little bit before we hopped on here, and I had some time to do that, but. Anyway, I hopped on there and I had read that, you know, there's people who think that they're moving up because potentially taking Trey Lance in that spot. I don't see that I don't see Trey Lance as the number three overall prospect unless the 49ers are seeing something that, you know, we're obviously not seeing. Obviously, he's a great player with high upside. So what? You're going to draft the number three overall prospect?
Which isn't out of the realm of possibility, you know?
It's not.
Because we speculate, you know, we'll do our homework, we'll do our research, we'll do everything that we can possibly do on our end, but we still, we're left with some speculation because at the end of the day, we don't know, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't know what those draft boards really look like on the back end, or if teams really are big on Trey Lance, you know? I mean, I doubt it, I wouldn't think so, but you just never know.
CJ, we had this conversation earlier on a phone call, and we were talking as this was going down, and we talked about we were discussing the situation that the 49ers are currently in. My thought process for San Francisco is they're kind of like that win now. Like, they're in that scenario right now, right?
Yeah.
You've got the coach who can scheme up anything. And you brought up the running back situation. It's like, man, just look at the offensive line and the way he's going to be able to, like, the way that he schemes things up in the run game, it really doesn't matter. You just have to have an adequate running back there, but they have really good running backs, you know, committee generally 90% of the time, that's what they're doing. They've got two guys, right? Or that's how they want to operate. So you're a quarterback away. Honestly, the receivers, I mean, if Deebo Samuel's healthy, Brandon Ayuk comes out and has that year two jump, which people expect. And then you've got Kittle, man, like, throw in a guy like a Mac Jones, who's NFL ready now, somebody who can just distribute. That's what you're looking for. The guy who can come right in and distribute, doesn't need a year behind another guy. And then you've got a chess piece that you can move in a trade, maybe pick up some more capital with Jimmy Garoppolo.
And look, I mean, to be honest with that offense is so loaded with weapons that if everyone stays healthy, and the defense, same thing. If the defense stays healthy, even if it's a young quarterback who may not necessarily be ready, like as you would want one to be ready, in that offense, Shanahan scheming, I mean, you can kind of hide deficiencies until a player does. You can essentially draft one of the young quarterbacks to be a game manager year one. I'm like, hey, look, this is what we need you to do. We're gonna play football. Yeah. We're gonna play great defense. Don't turn the ball over. And then year two, year three, kind of see, I guess, the transition that Russell Wilson had when he was in Seattle. You know, when he kind of transitioned from the game manager to, you know, Chef Russ.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's probably spot on. I mean, if you're going to take a rookie quarterback right now and you're looking to win right away, you're probably going to look at a guy like Mac Jones. But again, I wouldn't put it past Kyle Shanahan wanting an athletic guy like a Justin Fields or Zach Wilson. If Zach Wilson falls in his lap, what are you going to do? I mean, you're looking at a guy who people think is going to be equally as talented as some of the best, right? Short order. Give him a couple years and he's going to be up there with Pat Mahomes, right? That's the way people talk about him. But I feel I feel confident about Justin Fields, right? Like I feel like give him an put him in that offense with Shanahan. Holy crap, right? Like,
oh my god,
the way he'll be able to utilize him, dude, it'd be
because think of that West Coast, that horizontal scheme with all the misdirection and the receivers getting the ball, and then you add a quarterback run element to all of that. Like, that's just nightmares for defenses. Nasty. And you know what? A point, something that we're kind of glossing over is the fact, like, this is pretty rare that we see a team like San Fran have a high pick, and we're talking about, hey, these guys are legit Super Bowl contenders, right? So because we can all agree that they have a very talented roster, I mean, we can all agree that depending on what they do here, and I feel like doing this trade with Miami, it shows some of their hand, but as you said, Brandon, it kind of establishes, okay, this is our window. Because they traded essentially the future. This is their window. Like, if it was ever any question before, we know now this is their window. And for that reason, you got to go quarterback, right? I mean, it's how I feel. You know, maybe San Fran paid Shefty off and was like, hey, bro, this is what we need you to report. Like, I'm just saying, if I was a GM, I would try to use the media to my advantage in that way. I'd have a separate account set up for, you know, the John Claytons, the you know, of the world. Well,
I mean, if we think about it in this particular aspect, San Francisco has not picked this high since they traded that 2 pick and drafted Solomon Thomas at 3, right?
Yeah,
Chicago's like, hey, here's a boatload of shit to move up one spot so we can draft the worst quarterback in this draft class. Is that cool with you? And they're like, yeah, no problem.
Sure.
That sounds great. And since then, San Francisco's been great.
Yeah.
I think that Justin Fields fits in San Francisco's offense better than any other quarterback on the board, other than maybe Trevor Lawrence, but I'm just taking him off the board because I'm 90% certain he's going at 1. Like, Justin Fields, you can make an argument that Justin Fields is on par with athleticism and arm talent as Trevor Lawrence. And that's scary when you have two guys, and one guy's like, Trevor Lawrence is going to be number one. But the dark horse of this draft that people really are like, well, look at all these other shiny objects, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson. I truly think that Justin Fields, it may be just as good as Trevor Lawrence by the end of their NFL careers. And I think that comes from athleticism. I think that comes from his ability to read the field and make throws. And he's consistently improved at Ohio State.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, people try to judge Fields in 2020, and you look back at 2019. I bring this up all the time, but 2019 was spectacular. Then you have the COVID season this year, the starting, the stopping, the Big Ten season. Look, I think people have like a little bit of recency bias when it comes to Dwayne Haskins and previous Ohio State quarterbacks. This isn't the same situation. And I tried to point that out a lot when I talk to people that are like, but look at Ohio State's quarterbacks, you know, Dwayne. It's like, okay, yeah. But Fields, such an accurate passer down the field. He doesn't depend on the horizontal stuff as much. So, but he can use it. So I think too, in to touch on the Kyle Shanahan factor and what he'd be able to do, I like Fields' mobility added to that element added to the equation. Just, man, it's a game changer in an offense like that with a coach who has just like such a creative mindset. It would be big time. But Zach Wilson's the same way. And look, Mac Jones is not a stick in the mud. So
true. No, I agree with you. As far as NFL ready to plug and play into any NFL team, Mac Jones is the one. He clearly has the best grasp of the of playing quarterback out of any of the quarterback draft prospects. He might not have the arm talent. He might not have some of the athleticism that the others have, but he has it between the ears, which is arguably the most important thing you can have at the quarterback position.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he can get a little stronger. Well, I talked to CJ about that earlier. You know, people talk about guys. Brady didn't come into the NFL with an absolute
cannon. Exactly.
A lot of people were like, hey, he's throwing out routes from one hash to the other hash or across the field from the far hash. And sometimes it didn't have the velocity in college. And then now in the NFL, you watch him to this day. I mean, you're wow, this dude still has a cannon.
Like, and that's one of the things. That's one of the things that like is an underappreciated, and maybe not underappreciated, but one of the things that like is hard to evaluate, right? Is like, you know, whoever you're drafting to put under center is probably going to need to improve in the offseason. So the question is, are they willing to put in those hours of time to improve what throwing motion, arm angles, hip angles, engagement of those hips? And then change, like, are they willing to go, I know nothing, please break me down and rebuild me so that I can be
I'm
a successful
sponge. Exactly. You hit the nail on the head, Nate.
And I think that's the most undervalued thing that we have.
Yep.
It's like,
coming from the
quarterback position
isn't
like the running back position. It isn't like the it isn't like the wide receiver position, right? Like, not only you can't just go into the gym and lift weights and get strong and be better at quarterback. That will help, but it is so technique driven as far as like throwing motion, mobility, and if you don't have it, like if you don't have it between the ears, or like your hands are just a little too small, Jared Goff. You're going to fail. You're setting yourself up to fail drafting someone like that.
But anyways, the ears thing too, it's all about how much film you're willing to watch and like how much you're willing to absorb, how much time you're willing to put into that and how much effort. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, these guys are just junkies. They love it. They can sit down. They could coach the game if they wanted to right now. Like they'd be able to install a playbook on their own.
And we talked about this earlier in the season. Tom Brady is so successful because it's not that he's in love with winning or in love with football. He's in love with the process of being better.
Yeah.
Like he has fallen in love with the process of getting better at football. And that is something that I don't think a lot of NFL players actually have. They're like, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to get a payday. But like Tom Brady's like, I want to be the best. And I want to be no matter where I am at, I want to be the best, and I'm going to do everything I can to be that.
And it starts with the rookie quarterbacks coming in and having an understanding of where they need to improve and obviously working towards, you know, those accolades and improving themselves to get to that level. CJ, do you have any more thoughts?
In regards to the quarterback discussion or the breaking trade,
just in general, like with the 49ers, I mean, any other things have popped into your mind when we're sitting here? It's obviously, I feel 100% sure it's a quarterback, right?
Yeah, you know,
that's what they did this for.
I would say that they moved up for a quarterback. I think also just part of the trade is, you know, that we haven't really touched on is just how much better Miami, you know, they
I know
they swapped, so they traded back to the 12th, and then I believe they traded
back up
to the then they traded back up. Yeah, you know, so
that's right.
I mean, it was a lot going on. Philly traded essentially back from the 6th spot to the 12th spot, which is interesting because you know we thought they would be in play for Jamar Chase or Devontae Smith, and I mean, they're still going to be in play for one of the receivers, and they did gain some equity, but they won't get their pick. So, you know, they won't get their choice of which receiver they want. They'll kind of get whichever one is left, kind of, which still isn't the worst case scenario. So,
there's so many in this draft right now.
Yeah, it is. It is.
If you want one of the three or four top guys, and I'll even lump Kyle Pitts in there as like a receiver candidate. If you want any of those guys, you're probably going to have that opportunity just outside the top 10. I think they're probably banking on that right now. And that's hella good value. If you imagine Jamar Chase falls like a CeeDee Lamb type situation. I mean,
hey, look,
think about that.
This is also possible, okay? This could be the most overrated, you know, the most bust worthy draft ever, like in NFL history. I mean, look, we're raving and we're juicing about these guys. And look, I believe in them. I'm not saying that they're going to be that. But I'm just saying that, like, I mean, we just keep oozing about, like, hey, if you got a first round pick, you're good, basically. You know, like, this is a super deep draft. Last year's draft was incredible. And this year's draft feels like it's more loaded. Like, it's crazy. So something got to give.
Mm-hmm. And to CJ's point, you don't win the draft in the first round. You win that shit in the second, third, fourth round. That's when your scouting and development departments are like, okay, that's when you know you've got a hella good scouting and development department or people who are eyes on the scene, right? You know, especially without a combine where you can't meet with these guys up close. You got to travel to pro days, or you got to watch the pro days because you can only have so many personnel that can attend that shit. So you're like, okay, what do I do? So that's where you know I've got the right scouts and I feel confident.
And it's this year is so different in so many ways that we may not even pay attention to, from the standpoint that instead of having an NFL combine, and as you said, Brandon, these scouts, this front office personnel, they're traveling to these different universities to see these pro days. All right, we're seeing the best of the best, the creme de la creme, you know, run the 40, do vertical, catch passes, throw passes in their element, in their comfort zone, right? Well, it's different when you're in Indianapolis and a guy in line in front of you, you don't know him, and the guy behind you is 3 inches taller and got big ass arms, you don't know him either. And the quarterback, you count and you're like, 1, 2, 3, oh man, I got this dude doing it to me. You feel me? So it is so much like different that I'm just curious to see who gets it right and who totally bombs it this year.
Yeah, well, somebody's going to bomb. They always do. And it's inevitable. And somebody in the third or fourth or fifth round is going to blow up and everybody's going to be like, holy shit, I didn't see that coming. Yeah, we're, you know, that's the way it goes. And that's the best part about this whole situation is we get to sit here and speculate. And we feel good about certain things and we're on the fence about other things. And that's why it's always important to have perspective when you're evaluating things and say, look, this guy has the potential to be this guy. I hate it when people are like, oh yeah, that dude's Tyreek Hill, or that dude is Patrick Mahomes. 100. No, nobody's Patrick Mahomes except Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Nobody's Tyreek Hill except Tyreek Hill.
Yeah,
so
that's real.
We need to provide that perspective. I think that's what we need to do at Five Tools Sports is provide more perspective to people in that regard, because too often I'm reading shit on Twitter and on social media where people are like, oh yeah, this dude's that dude and that dude's this dude.
You know the problem.
That's bullshit.
The problem is when a lot of these guys make the comp, it's like, okay, it might be a worthy comp, but that comp is if that's his ceiling. Like, yeah, all right, Mac Jones might be Tom Brady if he hits that ceiling, but that's a high ceiling.
Right.
Like,
that's a big ask.
Right. I mean, that's me and Brandon.
People don't understand.
They don't. Like, me and Brandon was talking on the phone the other day, and it came up. We were talking about how Mac Jones was compared to Tom Brady, and I was like, well, you know, a better comparison would be Chad Pennington, who is, you know, he's known for, like, just not having necessarily the greatest arm, but he was accurate, and it was all about timing with him, and he was really good at that. And then, I mean, you could even make the case for Mac Jones and comparing him to Drew Brees in the second half of his career, you know? I think Mac Jones reminds me a lot of Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan is a little more athletic, which I think he was a little underrated athletically coming out of Boston College. I mean, the man could roll. I think he ran like a 4.7 at his combine.
Yeah.
So Matt Ryan was an underrated athlete. But, you know, I see those comparisons, but, like, I can't automatically draw a comparison to Tom Brady, or when I see Rondale Moore say, that's Tyreek Hill, I mean, that's just.
But you can say, hey, dude has the traits. Like, he has some traits that are comparable to Tyreek or Steve Smith. We've had this conversation numerous times where people are just like to tag somebody with they are who they look like. Oh, yeah, that guy's Tyreek Hill. Like, no, you got to preface that a little bit better. Yeah,
Tyreek Hill, good, because that man went through some trauma in his life. That's what I want to know in a scout. You been through some trauma yet, son?
Same with DeAndre Hopkins. That's such a good point.
Yeah, CJ. I'm just like, hey, I mean, that's the difference in some of these players. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Oh, you lost your mom early, or you know, you had a kid, you had to help. Like, it's so much. Like, what kind of adversity have you undergone thus far in your life? Like, when the tough get going, are you gonna get going, or are you just gonna get tougher? You know, it's you have people that fold, and you have people who, you know, pull a MJ or Tom Brady. I mean, it's special cats out there. You gotta find which ones have it and which ones don't.
All right, Nate, what are your final thoughts?
I think, and this is just the thought I just had, and I could be way off base, but one of the things that no one's talking about is Urban Meyer drafting Justin Fields at one, and all of a sudden everyone's boards are all f***ed up.
That could happen.
I was telling Brandon that's possible.
Like, we had that conversation
because you know who knows who Justin Fields is, because he's been around Ohio State University. Urban Meyer.
That's true.
Like, if anyone has an understanding of the talent that Justin Fields has and the potential, it's Urban Meyer. And if he's like, you know what, I know I can win with Justin Fields, I probably can win with Trevor Lawrence, but I know what I'm getting when it comes to Justin.
That's a legitimate possibility. Me and Brandon talked about, like, hey, what if? What if? We think it's highly unlikely, but it's possible. Like, what if? And then I kind of went back to just hit. And I mean, history. How many times have we thought we knew what the team who had the number one pick was going to do? And then, like, right when the draft start, a trade happens. You hear that ding, 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 you know, the little bell or whatever it is. And you're like, oh, snap. Or the year, I want to say 05, when the Texans drafted Mario Williams instead of drafting Reggie Bush, when everyone thought Reggie Bush was a unanimous number one pick. And in hindsight, the Texans made the right choice. So, you're Nate, you're 100% right.
Did you say the Texans made a good decision?
Yeah, that was 15 years ago, unfortunately.
that was before everyone got woke. But I mean, like, legitimately, so think about this. All of a sudden, the Jets at two now have a decision to make, right? They're like, what? Then they take Trevor Lawrence. I mean, they have to. They can't not pass in Trevor Lawrence. Like, you go, Sarry, Sam.
Oh, hell yeah. It's a domino effect, bro. It's a fucking bomb going off.
The Niners are like, but we wanted Justin Fields. We assumed that this was happening, and now we're like, well, do we, like, how much do we love Zach Wilson? How much do we want Trey Lance? So, like, Niners are sitting there, and, like, the pick that we wanted is now gone.
Yep.
Who do we take next?
And you're right. All this stuff is right. And to close this out, I'm going to close this thing out because we're running longer than I thought we would for this first ever Five Tool Sports breaking news segment. That will be on podcast format, not live, but it's awesome. But say the least, we don't know what the GM's draft boards look like. And we talked about this before where, you know, they got a guy higher up than what we believe, you know, than what we have on our draft boards or our thoughts. So you never know. A guy could pop into the first round, shake things up, or a guy could pop into the top 10, shake things up that you never expected. But I do want to close it out. This is breaking news. We're covering the San Francisco 49ers trade with the Miami Dolphins. This is the first Five Tool Sports breaking news segment. So hopefully we're going to do more of these in the future. I do want to throw out, follow us on Instagram at Five Tool Sports Podcast. And you can follow Football Scout 365 at Football Scout 365 on Instagram. And until next time, which breaking news happens all the time, and we won't be able to do breaking news all the time, so it better be damn good news for us to hop on here like this in the moment. So anyway.
Hell yeah.
See you guys.
We out.
Peace. My mama says you know that I ain't living right. I'd rather chase my dreams than live with regrets. Sometimes I think I let my demons get the best, but God be watching me with every step. So many nights, man, I was stressing and finessing, had to hustle to acquire.